It's the Hip Hop Matrix Show.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
It's the Hip Hop Matrix Show with Jay Hall and DJ Academics.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Let's get it.
Yep. What's good, what's good, what's good? It's myself, Jay Hall, this guy right here, DJ Academics.
What's happening? A little under the weather, but I'm here.
It's the Hip Hop Matrix Show. Damn, brother. Yeah,
babies get you sick, man. What can you do?
The bundle of joy, the little man?
Yeah, but he got sick from the other one, so.
How does that work out? Like, when one baby gets sick, do you put him, like, in a sick room?
You're supposed to, quarantine, but, yeah, it didn't work.
I mean, does that ever work because everybody's in the same house?
Yeah, it works, but just not in this case.
Oh, okay. I mean, is he better, though?
Yeah, he's all right. I mean, he's getting better, and I'm starting to get worse.
Jeez.
He's on the outskirts. So he's on the, looking out, and I'm looking in.
Ah, man, this is a joy. I mean, luckily, you come from someone you love, man.
Nah, it doesn't make it any different.
I can imagine. If it come from a coworker you can't stand, you got a passerby.
I'm still sick.
That's real. And I've been going kind of good. I haven't been sick so far this year, so I'm going to stay right over here on this side of the mic.
All right.
That's for sure. I got a chance to check out the Hip Hop Museum in D.C. If you get a chance, check it out. It was going all the way up until February 18th. Started by Jeremy Beaver. I can't remember the name of the studio he started. I think LaserVision or something like that on Georgia Avenue in D.C. Pardon me, I can't. And Dave Mays, the founder of the Source Magazine.
Okay.
And the museum is kind of dope. It's at the Blind Wino, Southwest D.C. Man, they got all these artifacts in there. They got, like, all these signatures, like these plaques that's on the wall. They also have one thing that I found interesting was that they had that was funny, not interesting, but hilarious. Was they got a picture of your boy MC Hammer in spandex.
Oh, wow.
I forgot how.
Yeah, a picture of him in spandex, and you forgot how hard.
I forgot how fearless Hammer was. Yeah. You know what I mean? The brother just didn't care.
Pioneering.
You know what I mean? Just full on straight, like, white beater spandex, just all in there. You know what I mean? But it opened up with Sugar Hill Gang performing, I guess, like their 40th anniversary of their song, Rappers Delight. So okay. it's a pretty dope museum. I got to check that out. I mean, I got a chance to check that out. And it got me more interested in wanting to check out the Trap Museum in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
My sister lives out in Atlanta. She tells me it's really good, really dope. I don't know if it's still there. I think it might have.
Yeah, I got a lot of people in Atlanta. I used to live in Atlanta, but I got somebody that I know from Baltimore that moved to Atlanta, and they're just like tearing up the Atlanta scene. She just opened up a restaurant called Slutty Vegan. It's
called what?
Slutty Vegan. She's basically she's been on TV. All the big celebrities have come to her restaurant. She started it from a food truck.
Oh.
And it's called Slutty Vegan, basically, because there was no place for vegans to go get vegan junk food. So it's like vegan burgers, all types of.
Okay.
Like, it's crazy.
Vegan junk food, doesn't that defeat the purpose? Isn't vegan life supposed to be healthier?
I mean, from a meat standpoint, but it's still, you still want late night snacks and stuff like that, like burgers and stuff like that. So it's plant-based burgers and stuff like that. And it's actually been crazy. Like, a lot of little babies, Outkast has been there. The mayors have been there. She's been on Good Morning Atlanta. It's like a big craze. She's led a whole revolution in Atlanta in the past 12 months, and it's been ridiculous. So shout out to her, Pinky.
Okay.
Homie Pinky, she's doing her thing. Yeah, the Slutty Vegan.
Okay. That's what's up, man. I need to check that out next time in Atlanta. Slutty Vegan. Yeah. I'm not still understanding the slutty part, but yeah.
And when you eat she makes you say you've been slutified. So.
Well, all right.
Yeah, well, all right. And everybody's been slutified.
There you go. There's nothing wrong with being a slut. Yeah,
slutty vegan.
There's nothing wrong with that. We shooting out here. We out here. Yeah. That's what's up. I got to check that out. There's also another. Oh, there's a hip-hop museum in Baltimore, actually. I followed them on IG.
Hip-hop museum?
Yeah, it's called the Mini Hip-Hop Museum. It's in Baltimore.
Oh, shoot. I don't know
exactly where it is.
Oh,
but I'll shoot you the IG, and you can check it out. Maybe you'll know. But it's definitely in Baltimore. I definitely have to check it out, So I'm all about that. I was there to check out. I ran into a mutual friend of you and I's. I ran to Maroff.
Oh, okay.
Homie Moroff was there. She was there checking out, man. It's real dope. You get, matter of fact, it's not too far. It's right down the street from where we record at. So you get a chance next time you do your show, whatever, you should go down and check it out, man. So shout out to them. Hip Hop Museum, if you're in the D.C. area up until February 18th. They're not even paying me to say it. I just think it's dope. And what I thought it was really, really dope was a lot of people that was even older than me was in there with their kids and breaking down to their kids about the history, because it's important for, you know, for the culture to be passed down and kids don't, you know, take it for granted.
Yes, that's very true.
You know what I mean? So, because I work around a lot of kids and you'd be surprised how many of them do not know, like, their own culture, like, what's going on. Like, they don't, they'll know, like, who's beefing, but they don't know, like, things that happened in their culture that, like, that happened before, where it came from and all of that good stuff. So that kind of gave me hope when I saw parents, like, because when I was coming up, you know, parents was telling you not to listen to it. Mm. So now you got parents, you know, holding their child's hand, explaining to them who De La Soul is. Like, that was real cool.
Yeah, that's definitely. They need to know the roots and where everything stems from. At least know where the samples are.
Yeah, yeah. From. It's going to be a little difficult to try to explain Suge Knight, though. But but you got to do it.
I mean, so it's going to be difficult to explain ODB, but I mean.
Yeah, you got to do it. When he went to the welfare line, even though he was getting paid, you know what I mean? A lot of good memories, you know? So you got to do it. Yeah, so it was real dope. But, you know, let's get into it, man. It was a lot to get into for the show. First thing that came across my mind, and I text you about this too, I wanted to see your response on this, was The Game had played, you know, was playing his album. He had like a listening session.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
He had the live feed going on and all that good stuff. And his album that's supposed to be coming up called Born to Rap. And there was a verse that went viral about Kim K. And it said, quote, "I'm Kobe. I'm a goat nigga. I held Kim Kardashian by the throat, nigga. Made her swallow my kids until she choked, nigga. I should apologize because Jay my folk, nigga." Like, sheesh.
Yeah, that was.
Yeesh.
He that was a reaching for headlines line, because that's just disrespectful. It's so disrespectful.
It is disrespectful.
So disrespectful.
It is. And it's like.
Oh, man, it's so disrespectful.
The thing about Game is, like, you always think, like, he's going to get to an age where he's past this kind of level of life, but he's not. And I'm trying to understand.
Ooh, hurts. Waking up Tuesday morning, hearing that. Ooh, that hurts.
What's? I mean, you, and if you Kanye, you already ranting about everything else. Like, do you rant about Game? Do you go off about this situation?
I'm sure they don't even live that far from each other. I think so. I don't believe so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they all gonna see each other.
Yeah, but that's bad.
I'm just trying to understand the purpose of that.
To wake up and hear that verse. Oh my God.
Game's like 40, yo. He doesn't care.
Game ain't no 40. Game probably like 32, 33.
Bro, he's not no 32, man. Let me look this up right now.
50's in his 40s.
No, let me look this up right now, bro. 50's
Game, like 44 or 45.
Let me look this up right now, bro. Game is not no 32, son. Yes, Game was born in 79. He's 39 years old, dog. He's about 40, bro.
Oh, okay.
Game still out here talking about who he smashed and like he's 16.
He still got his hairline.
yeah, that's true. It's more than what I can say. I'm just trying to see, like, how does that get? I mean, I just think, like, at this point,
it's a shock factor. It's a shock value.
But where does that get you, though? Don't you think that at this point, Game's supposed to be like an OG and supposed to be like kind of evolved in schooling? It's like he's still.
He is. And shout out to him. He actually squashed the beef. Well, I don't even believe that was a beef, but him and Meek Mill have spoken. They're on speaking terms. They're on good terms now. I wouldn't call that a beef, really, though, in my eyes. I don't think they was beefing.
Game is one of those people, man. If you want Game to grow up, you might as well go choose another rapper, because it ain't happening well. Tell you right now, if you looking for Game to be like, to evolve like the way Snoop Dogg did and Hov did, it ain't gonna happen. But if you someone who like that, you know, people like the old gangsters,
old gangsters.
You're right. Like, that's what you go for. That's because Game is just like, I mean, I don't see the purpose, but evidently he does. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess he definitely got people's attention off that.
Yeah, that was the whole plot. He did. Mission accomplished.
Most definitely mission accomplished.
But if you're Kanye waking up hearing that, oh, that hurts. That hurts.
But do you ask my question, though? If you Kanye, do you go off on him? Do you rant? Do you make a diss song? Do you fight him? Like, what do you do?
I mean, you got to do something. I mean, you got to defend your wife and your honor and your family. Kanye kind of knew stuff like this was going to come when he decided to marry Kim Kardashian, period, because of her history in the game. But, I mean...
Hey, history in the game.
Yeah, I mean, if that's
in the game,
if that's the right way to say it. Funny words. But no pun intended. But yeah, he knew that this stuff was going to be in play, but it just still hurts when it actually comes out.
I think that right there is kind of old. Saying you smash Kim is not saying anything.
Ooh, like, that's kind of like a shot right there.
No, I'm
like,
just saying.
Smash,
like,
Kim, that's not saying anything. We all smash Kim.
No,
like,
that's
how it sounds
kinda,
when you say it, though.
No, I'm saying that's kind of.
That's how it sounds when you just say it. Play back what you just said. That's what it sounds like.
Rappers saying that, like, that. Where does that get you? Like, all rappers are trying to get a Kardashian. I mean, he claiming he had three. I'm saying
he claimed,
like,
he had three Kardashians.
Yeah, that's what he claimed.
He did say that?
Yeah, in one of the verses on there, he claimed he had three Kardashians. So my thing is, like, where does that get old, saying you had a Kardashian?
Well, it's actually only three Kardashian females.
Because you got the Jenners.
The other one's a Jenner.
So I guess you smash all the, unless you smash the mom.
Yeah, unless you smash the mom.
Which I'm not mad at you if you did.
Yeah.
But where did,
she's, like, definitely a cougar.
Why is it that they
have
to be like,
shits.
I mean, she got young black guys as a bodyguard.
That's what I said. She's definitely with the shits.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, if she banging with Timbuktu brothers, you know what I mean? I don't see why she wouldn't mess with Game. But
how good could it be if your last husband went turned to a woman on you?
I mean, it probably was so good. He was like, I got to turn into this.
It was so good. I got to get me one.
I got to get me one of these.
I guess that's one way to look at it. That's,
you know what I'm saying? Woo!
That's glass half full.
I guess, half empty. And I guess she was like, better you, because I'm not about to get no penis. So, you know what I'm saying? I just go get this black one over here.
Sheesh,
but I just
so
say,
good.
Like,
to go get me one of these.
When did the Kardashians become like this staple of achievement? Like, if you hit them.
10-year challenge for that one.
It's like, that's a 10, that's a 10-month challenge where that transformation happened.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, when did the Kardashians become this staple of, like, oh, so when you hit them, you achieve something? Like, where did that happen?
Where did that happen?
Or, like, why does that have to be? Like, why are rappers holding the Kardashians up?
Because they're just famous. That's all, because they're famous. Because everybody knows them. Everybody knows them. It's just a title. You hit something that everybody else sees and everybody else wants. Yeah, you use it as a little trophy, so to speak.
I ain't going
to
trip too hard because, I mean, what? Hip-hop is what? In his early 40s, and for the first 35 years, it was dissing black women. So now it's dissing white women. I ain't going to go too hard for it, but I just don't see the point.
Kardashians aren't black or white.
There's something.
What is it?
They're mixed with, man, come on, man. Just because you got a little spot, you're
Romanian
white on white
or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not going that hard for it. But it's still.
They could have walked past the KKK and still lived.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I just don't see the point, but evidently Game does. But like you said, it's always for shock value. And Game never ceases to amaze me when you think that he's over something.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, he definitely got us talking about it. Speaking of Ye.
Still hurts.
You know, Ye filed a lawsuit against for his music publishing and masters against Rockefeller and Island Def Jam and EMI Publishing. You know, he ranted about that not too long ago also. So you think this furthers the rift between him and Hov?
I don't think it furthers the riff. I mean, that's just business. And I believe Hov knows the difference between business and personal beef. But, I mean, it's kind of funny, though, because, I don't know, Hov is more of a – he's more of the empowering part as far as the artist with the whole Rock Nation push and just teaching artists to be more empowered and owning things and stuff like that. So it's kind of – I don't know. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, and I'm not really
Ye
sure.
He doesn't own any of his music.
Well, and ever since Hov kind of left – you know, Def Jam altogether, I'm not sure how does that go.
Yeah, but
like,
it could be more of a Def Jam situation.
It could be.
But you have to attach Rockefeller to it because it was a joint venture. So it might not be that Hov is holding it back. It's just Hov's the name that everybody's thinking about.
That's real.
So it could really be Def Jam and EMI, but you just have to attach all three because they were a joint venture.
Yeah. So. And Hov has been on record of saying about artist rights. I mean, that was the whole point of starting
title. Yeah, so it doesn't make sense for him to
be upset about that, right?
Yeah, so I think it's more of a attack at, or it's more suing Def Jam and EMI. It's just that you can't sue two out of the three when all three are in bed together. So it's
in
like,
bed. Somebody's in bed with him, so yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Well, maybe he should sue Game.
Yeah, because when Def Jam wanted Jay, they had to take the whole Rockefeller, so that kind of started the whole thing.
Yeah, there you go. I guess you ain't, you ain't tripping off that. I mean, speaking of that, you know, he still is cool with Dame and all that, and I'm pretty sure nobody is going to be mad at you for one of your masters. Nobody's going to be mad at you for one of your publishing, except for the corporate big heads in the first place.
Yeah, so that's what they eating off of. That's what they kids eating off of.
Right, so I highly doubt, you know, one artist turn around and do it to another artist, but can't say it never happened before.
Yeah, you definitely can't say it never happened before.
Yeah, you can't say it's never happened before at all.
Can't say it never won't happen again.
Right. You know, moving on. Some new music had dropped. If you got a chance, check it out. Don Q had dropped a diss track towards Tory Lanez called "I'm Not Joyner."
Yeah, I saw the art.
Where he's hanging him. Yeah, he is, because Tory Lanez was going on a rant saying he was the greatest rapper alive and all that other stuff. And Don Q's kind of going hard. He talking about Tory Lanez's hairline, because you know Tory Lanez got his hairline restored, but he didn't get the back piece. Like, he still got the bald head, but he got the hairline. Yeah, you know, I guess he ran out of money towards that part, because it is expensive. So maybe he had the first 15.
According to Safari, it's 10 stacks.
So maybe he had 5, and he meant to, you know, keep wearing the hat until he get the other, but, you know.
I mean, it was 10 for the hairline, not the
Yeah. Exactly. I guess 10 for the hairline, but not 10 for the back. Yeah. Maybe it's a different price, but.
Would you do it?
No, I'm good, man. I've been riding clean for a minute. I'm already going to subscribe to Mach 3's Gillette Shaving.
You don't want to get it restored? Just like, I'm back.
That depends on how much stupid money I get. If I get that kind of stupid money where I'm not listening to y'all.
That's 10 stacks ever spent, probably.
If I get that stacks like Hov, I might do some crazy stuff. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Or you can do the Dion. I wonder how big is the Dion? Because the Safari was 10 stacks.
And he's got the hairline.
Yeah, Dion had the whole. Yeah, Dion got the whole joint.
And then went back to Neon. Dion hair looked better now than it did back when he was in Florida playing for college.
Yeah, now he letting it grow. He even going hard now. He letting the afro grow.
Well, that's what happens, because usually what happens with a lot of dudes is around the time they about to get their, a lot of times when they start saying, you know, I'm going to let my hair grow, that's when you start realizing that your hair is going. So you probably always did want to let your hair grow. Because I remember when I was like, cutting my hair, and I was like, you know, because I'm one of those people, I was going bald, like, I was cutting my joint, like, every day, you know what I mean, with the little clippers. And then one day, I was being a little lazy, like, I went, like, 3 days, and then I was like, wait, it ain't growing back as fast. And I'm a problem solver, so I was like, let me get rid of this. But that's usually what happens, is that when you start, like, slacking, or you going lazy, or you start saying, you know, I want to grow my hair out, you start looking at them little ints, them little corners, and them corners ain't popping like they used to pop, and that's the first sign, buddy. So I guess Dion, that's where he left off at back in 01. He was like, you know what, I'm just going to get the whole thing. I don't know. If I get stupid money like millions and I ain't got nothing else to do with my money, I mean, who cares?
That 10 stacks in the trash. Go get me.
Because you know why, man? Because after a certain amount of years, like if Dion was to have a kid right now, that kid would know. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it, or when your child, for example, your child about to be one, right? Or already one.
Uh-huh.
Man, by the time he see Dion on TV, he not going to know. You know what I'm saying? Like, he not going to know. So, you know. I mean, it's no different from when I was growing up as a kid. My mother was pointing to people on TV saying, he wearing a toupee. He been went bald. I didn't know. Uh-huh. The dude from Star Trek had a toupee on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know, but my mother knew it. But who cares? So, you know, I don't know. But Don Q is nothing to mess with. I mean, that's a Bronx, lyrical, dope street dude. And he already telling you he ain't Joyner. In the song, he was talking about, like, I ain't no college dude, nothing like that. And he's even daring to Tory Lanez to get at him anyway with a rap song or come outside or pull up, whatever. You think Tory should come up to that challenge?
Tory got hands.
Hands where? Like,
he was fighting in the clubs. He was doing something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he got a little miniature hands.
Little miniature hands.
Yeah, he got a little miniature hands. Tory Lanez like one of those guys, man, I never really could quite grasp, because I think he's a good artist, but he has a chip on his shoulder that is, I mean, I don't know if he felt a certain type of way because he came out after Drake and he's from Toronto. And maybe we as an audience have not allowed more people from Toronto to breathe, because when Drake was such a big artist, we just look at Drake.
Just suffocated it.
Right. And so maybe because
suffocated.
And maybe because he came out rapping and singing, everybody just kept comparing him to Drake, and that's what it was. But, you know, you going on your Twitter rants, like when he almost got into it with Royce da 5'9", now you get into it with Don Q. You know, I don't know, man. I mean, come back with a song, though. I mean, it could be good for the culture. Come back with a song.
Could be bad for him.
If you want to take it any other way, yeah, most definitely could be bad. J. Cole had dropped Middle Child. Did you get a chance to check that out?
Yes, he did.
And allegedly, I guess, he has an album that's in the works. I technically don't believe it, because he just had an album last year. And artists like Cole and Kendrick don't do the whole every single year thing. Not even Drake. They do like an every other year. But if he was to drop, I would think he'd probably drop like maybe like November or something like that.
Nah, I think it's coming. Cause he's been doing a lot of work with a lot of artists, doing a lot of features. He did the feature with 21 Savage, did a feature with Moneybagg Yo. He's jumping out of the box, doing a lot of different things. He's prepping. Something's coming in the next, I say, 60 days.
But that tends to be the formula with those type of artists, is that they'll do an album 1 year, then the next year they're doing a bunch of features to keep themselves alive, then they'll do an album again. So, you know, maybe it was. Did you get checked
out? Cole's coming in the spring.
Did you check out Middle Child, though? You like it?
Yeah, I love the record. Yeah. Records a powerful record, strong record.
It is. He's proclaiming he's the greatest. Like,
he had to say what he had to say. He definitely got it off his chest.
No, he ain't being humble no more. He ain't going out for you suckers. He ain't going back and forth with y'all. You know what I'm saying? Because he's claiming he the best. And you know what? It might get to a point we're going to have to start mentioning Cole up there like that.
Yeah. I mean, Cole's never been the hottest artist in the game, man. But look at the blueprint. Look at the blueprint he's following, hence.
But define, blueprint. When you say he's never been the hottest, what do you mean? Like, define that.
He's never
the
biggest artist in the game, just as, like, Jay-Z was never the biggest artist in the game, but he was always one of the top ones. And being one of the top ones.
Hov was never the biggest artist in the game? Mean?
No, he was never the
who was he behind? Like, when you say, like, biggest artist in the game.
I mean, like, the hottest. I wouldn't say the biggest. I say the hottest. He was never the hottest in the game. Well, you had
Hard Not Life, he wasn't the hottest rapper at that point?
No, Nelly.
No, that came out a couple years later.
Then we had 50.
Nelly came out in 2000. Hard Not Life is 98. So I'm saying.
All right, DMX was the biggest rapper in the game at that point.
Okay.
All right. Okay. It was the hottest record.
X was the rock star, hands down.
X was the rock star. Then it was Nelly. Then it was 50. And then it was Wayne.
Okay.
And then you had Kendrick, and you have who's after Wayne? I mean, you had
Yeah, but I mean, when you say not the hottest, I mean, I guess I'm looking at it like, I mean, there was a time where Hov was like, Hov in his prime. Hov was a big artist, though.
He's always been one of the hottest artists, but he's never been the rock star of that time period.
I don't know, bro. I don't know if I can go with that one, but I mean, I
he'll tell you that himself.
I don't know.
He's on record saying that himself.
No, I know he's on record saying X was a better performer, as when they was on stage and they were doing a Hard Not Life. He said X used to kill him in performance, and clearly you can see that. But I mean, I guess I hear what you're saying. When you can make in that kind of comparison, he's always been there.
Yeah, he's always there, but he's there every single year after year. Whereas though the person that is the hottest, he's hot that year, but then he's gone the next year.
Well, I feel like today's cycle always goes Kendrick, Cole, Drake. Kendrick, Cole, Drake. And whenever one of them drop, hence why they never really drop at the same
before
time.
Before Wale was in that conversation, too.
When was Wale in our
time? Wale was in that conversation at first. He was in that conversation early on. He was in that conversation.
Well,
yes,
here's the thing. You need to tell Wale that. Because Wale is always so upset that he's never in that conversation.
He was in that conversation.
Well, how come he doesn't ever feel like he's in that conversation?
I don't know, but he was in that conversation.
I don't know if Wale was in the conversation.
The leaders of the new school lyrically was Drake, Kendrick, Cole, and Wale.
I don't know about Wale coming after those three. I never heard a conversation. Somebody say Cole, even, Kendrick, Drake, well, and then Wale.
In the control verse, Kendrick even put him in there. He said,
"Well, Kendrick put a lot of people in that verse."
Well, no, he only put three people. He only said three names.
No, he said
Mac. He said Wale. No, maybe we only pay attention to the three.
Yeah, you. But he said a lot of names.
The main three was Cole, Wale,
he
and Drake.
He said a lot of names. No, Kendrick went off on a lot of names. Went off with Sean. Who record it was?
Yeah, but the main three was Wale, Cole, and Drake. So
I don't know, bro. I mean, I hear you. But I do think that one thing I will say is that Cole is at the point where he got the numbers because he definitely goes platinum every time he sells. Even though this generation, this era, tends not to care about going platinum, Cole definitely does the number. And we ain't talking about just streaming and all this stuff. We're talking about Cole actually gets hard copy numbers and goes platinum and stuff like that, and he gets hit records. So, you know, hey, if he want to start boasting and saying he's the best, I'm not mad at that. My point is, I'm not upset with that. You know what I mean? Because sometimes holding back, you see what he done for Soulja Boy. Some wonders of him saying he the best and he's not, but yet we're all paying attention to him. So if you actually are the best, you might want to start bragging a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. You can be, if you're in the top five for 15 years straight.
When was, about, you're talking about Cole, not Soulja Boy, right?
No, I'm talking about J. Cole, definitely.
Okay.
If you mix up in that top five, bouncing around in that top five for 15 years straight, and everybody else in those top fives in every year, they on it 1 year and they just disappear.
Ain't no Draco, though.
They're off of the list. That's what I'm talking about. That's the blueprint he's worried about. He's not worried about being the hottest at the time. He's worried about making music and staying consistent at his craft, so he's always respected.
He ain't no Draco, though.
It's like you may beat me on the Forbes this year, but I'm on there every year.
He ain't no Soulja Boy, just on AKA there Draco, year. Though.
Yeah, no, he definitely ain't.
He ain't no Soulja Boy, though.
No, he's definitely not a
Soulja Boy. He probably copied the style from Soulja Boy.
He doesn't want to be a Soulja Boy. He has no aspirations
Cole
to be a Soulja Boy.
Probably got his style a little bit from Soulja Boy.
Absolutely not.
Cole? He probably got his style a little bit from Soulja Boy. Tell him.
On the low, though, Soulja Boy may be a better producer than Cole, but that's still arguable. That's arguable, but that's the only thing we can argue between those two.
What I will say, if Cole,
because people forget that J. Cole produces the majority of his music, he just got out of that pocket.
No, all of his music. Last two albums, he was doing all of it.
Yeah.
Because the only criticism I have with Cole is I kind of want him to work with other producers to kind of bring other angles up out of him, because I feel like he's kind of in his basement too much on his own. Mm-hmm. And I don't want him to fall into the trap like Eminem did. Like Eminem, when he was at his peak, you know, who's somebody else who was hot, you know, when he had his...
Eminem wasn't a producer.
No. He was producing his own records. You need to go back and check that out. Eminem, them last two albums, Eminem was producing his own records, and all his records are sounding the same.
Well, those were the horrible albums that we didn't
pay
attention
to. That's my point, is I don't want Cole to get on the point where he's good, and then we... You know how right now Eminem's selling, but the culture really don't pay attention. And even though on record, he, like right now in 2018, he sold more than everybody in 2018. But nobody's really paying attention to him, and we're not putting him in that argument as far as like being hot or even looking at him like that. And I'm saying I don't want Cole to fall into that, because creatively, when you're in that dungeon and you only seeing yourself and you producing yourself and you only agreeing with yourself and you ain't got another producer ear to tell you, you know, rap like this, like the way, you know, Dre is, like a real producer, sometimes you can fall short. And I would like to hear Cole on somebody else's records and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just to see him switch up the flow sometimes.
Yeah.
Off
topic, I mean, Wayne's doing a lot of production right now, too.
For who Wayne produced for?
Shoot, Lil Wayne produced Yes Indeed. The Drake and Lil Baby. Yes.
I didn't know. No, I swear I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's produced a lot of records on the low right now. Wayne is actually popping as a producer.
I had no idea.
To be honest right now.
You know, I never pictured Wayne. I mean, Wayne should. He grew up. I mean, he's been in the game since he was three.
Yes.
Yeah, so he should know everything in the studio.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He
that should not be a surprise to nobody. I just ain't know.
His producer name is Weezyana, so. Yeah.
Is that talking about that drop?
Yeah.
That's Weezy. I thought that dude just stole it.
Yeah, every time you hear that drop, that's a Lil
Wayne.
Talking about
Weezy out here?
Weezyana.
That's Weezy for real?
Yeah, every time you hear that drop, that's Lil Wayne produced a record.
Don't make us sound stupid, man. You dead serious?
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, I didn't know that. I thought that dude was just saying it. I didn't know that. All right. Well, you know, I ain't going to argue because I don't know. So, you know, you DJ, I don't know. So, yeah, I ain't going to tell no lie.
Shout out to Weezy.
Yeah, shout out to Weezy, man. He getting his producer game on. You know what I mean? Shout out to Weezy. Shout out to Tory Lanez and his hairline. Shout out to Don Q. You know what I mean? Any new music else that dropped that you could think of? None of it matter, right?
None of it matter. Cold drop. That's all that matter.
Yeah. Did you ever get a chance to check out the future? Because I know when we talked about last week, neither one of us listened to it yet.
I mean, I'd listened to it. I just didn't like listen to it. But
You feel it?
The records I've listened to and I played. I mean, they're good. I like the crush. Diamonds crushed up. I can do it. Diamonds crushed up.
Okay. You sound like him.
Yeah. I mean, it's the future formula.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. You know, I've been really wanting to get into this all day, man, all week, actually. So the Fyre Festival released two documentaries. There were two documentaries based upon the Fyre Festival, the greatest party that never happened, the failed attempt back in 2017, back in April 2017. There was two documentaries. There's one on Hulu, and there's one on Netflix. And I saw the one on Netflix. Apparently, the one on Hulu actually has the guy, Billy Fairland. They actually interviewed him, I guess, from jail or whatever the case may be. But do you remember the festival at all when it first popped off?
I remember hearing about it.
Do you remember hearing about it?
And then I remember 50 going in on it.
So I knew a couple of people who they had reached out to when it was popping. And somebody I know who was like a salesperson, they were dealing with them for a second when the festival was first about to happen. Mm-hmm. And that person was like, they pulled out of it, right? And their boss was mad at them for pulling out of it because the perception was this was about to be the biggest party like of the century, about to be in the modern day Woodstock. Mm-hmm. And he says even now, he looks at that boss like, yeah, didn't I save you? Because it was so much money that was missed out on in the Fyre Festival. People had spent... the tickets range from $5,000 to $2,500 per ticket, okay? They had performances like that was supposed to be there was like Blink 182, Designer, Pusha T, and Tyga. But when the people got to this island, the island that they kept promoting as being one of Pablo Escobar's islands, they had tents and little hot dog sandwiches for people. Then on top of that, it rained when the people got there. Mm. It continued to rain. And one of the co-founders of this festival was Ja Rule. Ja Rule and a gentleman named Billy McFarlane. McFarlane, that's his name, Billy McFarlane.
Who got off like a fat rat.
Well, no, he's in jail right now. He's in jail. He's been sentenced to 6 years.
I mean, until the people came and got him.
Right. He's in jail for 6 years. But when you watch this doc, the thing that's so crazy about it is such, I'm just going to go ahead and say it plainly, man, it is such a display of white privilege. Because
I haven't seen it, by the way.
Dude, let me tell you, they talk about how they even set it up, you know, and the biggest party that they had was the party beforehand of just promoting it, mm-hmm. because they went and got all these models. Mm-hmm. And it tell you where the times we are in right now, because they went and got all these models. None of the models was really doing anything. They were just looking beautiful on the island, in the boat. And, you know, they paid models and different all of them to kind of like hashtag fire festival and all that good stuff. And, you know, just put on the perception like this is the place that you needed to be. And it tapped a lot into a title that I was unfamiliar with. Are you familiar with the term FOMO culture?
FOMO culture.
Yeah, F-O-M-O culture.
Phone culture, I guess.
F-O-M-O culture, FOMO culture. And that is...
I can understand what it means.
It means fear of missing out.
Oh, no, fear. I was absolutely wrong anyway.
You definitely was out. Yeah, don't even go there.
no, that's not, it wasn't nothing like that. It was okay. Just, I was just going to say we're so in touch with our phones that whatever we see on social media through our phones, that's what we want.
I mean, but listen, damn near. I mean, fear of missing out culture, right? And so they had all these influencers there. They had all these people there that they had paid to be there and all that good stuff. And they were saying that they were having problems from the jump. Like, they didn't have enough water. You know, they didn't have enough... They didn't have enough food supply. Like, they were on pins and needles just to make the presentation. They kept telling dude to pull out of the situation, but he wasn't going to pull out the situation. They even got to a point where they didn't have enough gallons of water. And one of the guys, the guy Billy Farland, who was the co-founder, told one of his mans that he's going to have to take one for the team and go give head.
I did
head,
see a snippet of that. Right, I saw somebody talking about that.
To the other dude. And the dude was like, I'm just gay between. He said, I took a shower.
You're a fearless gay leader or something.
Yo,
like that.
Yo, I went to take a shower, and I went to go take one for the team. That means he went to take a shower. You know what that means? That means not only was he going to give you head, he was ready for anything else you was ready to prepare. like, that is the dude that can get the shutdown. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is the dude you need to call.
Get it done.
Right, to get it done. Like, you talk about a true champion. I don't want to hear about nobody saying ride or die if you ain't that white man right there. Because that white man's going hard.
He was about to get the Aquafina
He was about to go for the gusto.
For some Aquafina.
You took a shower for some...
What would you do for a Klondike bar,
right,
brother?
Right. What would you do for a Klondike bar? My God. Oh, my Lord. I don't even want to know. What does he do for raises? What does he do to get sugar in the cereal? When the waitress asked him, does he want cream and a coffee? Like, what does he do? Mm. Man. But he said the guy was like, look, man, you're good. You know what I mean? Like, just make sure you pay me the money back. Mm-hmm. And there was also a lady there who was a restaurant owner. And so just to skip past everything, the festival totally bombed. And so you still had people on this island who were hungry. They didn't have anything. Mm-hmm. So a lady, man, she was feeding people with, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, out her savings. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, feeding people. Like, the whole situation was just so bad, man. But the thing that also looked horrible is when you watch clips of Ja Rule, he looks like a bozo. Ja looks bad. Ja looks like he don't know what's going on. Even in the beginning, when they first was promoting their company. And he was like, yeah, oh, me and Billy got a company. Billy, tell us what we got going on, yo. Like, Ja looks like he has no idea what is going on.
He's just a face.
And he is just there. Yo, he tried to get these girls to jump in the water. He's like, we going to need y'all to get in the water, you know, for the excitement of it. Because they were documenting the whole thing. And models was like, I'm not getting in the water. Like, you could tell, like, Ja Rule's face was looking like, man, yo, he really wish it was like 2001 when he was on top. Because I'm pretty sure Ja Rule 01, if he told the model jump in the water, they'd jump in the water. Mm-hmm. But Ja Rule 2017 tell the model jump in the water, they're like, I'm not jumping in the water. I'm not jumping in the water. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not jumping in the water.
Last time you were relevant, I was in elementary school.
Right. So I felt bad looking at that, though, man. But Ja's looking like a bozo, man. I'm not even going front. Ja was looking really, 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 really bad. To the point where they showed this one meeting they were having when it collapsed, uh-huh. and Ja was on the phone with everyone. He was like, come on, people. There's a lot of smart people in the room. We're a family. You know, let's think of something. And they were showing the lady talking on the side, and she was like, Jai's telling us that we're family. We're not family. I never spoke to this guy. Like, dog, like, it was so bad, man. And, you know, he claimed that he was, you know, he wasn't scamming nobody. He Jai claimed that, you know, matter of fact, he had tweeted. He said, quote, "I had amazing vision to create a festival like no other. I would never scam or fraud anyone. What sense does that make?" So, you know, he also claimed that he was bamboozled, led astray, all that good stuff.
Hoodwick,
you know. So, and the guy, Billy McFarland, he's been sentenced to 6 years. So, I guess it says a lot about this whole perception game, man, about this whole, like, not missing. Like, everybody was investing in something that they thought was going to happen because they were afraid to not be in the moment of it. I mean, people paid their life savings to be a part of a party that did not happen. Like, can you imagine that? You know what I'm saying? Like can you imagine wanting to be in so bad? Like, I don't have that kind of desire, so I don't know what that is. But I think it does speak on a smaller scale of, like you said earlier, that you probably can touch on, like, how we all those ways addicted to our phones because we have to be plugged in. Like, we don't want to put our phones off. You know what I mean? We don't want to disconnect because we have to be plugged in. This need to always want to be plugged in. But we could be at a party and we want to be still looking at social media, even though we're at the party. Like, we can't even enjoy our own party. And it got taken to that extreme. I think things like that lead to that extreme, man. I ain't going to lie to you. After that whole documentary, it made me just want to just start disconnecting in life. Like, I started cutting my phone off at night. You know what I mean? Just turning my whole phone off. You know what I mean? Just I want to be more in the practice disconnecting because I'm not saying I'm ever going to get to that point because a lot of that was just white privilege. But I don't ever want to be in danger of going on there. So I felt like, man, somebody who's using drugs and they like, you know what, I'm going to stop now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been smoking weed or I've been popping pills a little bit. But you know what? I'm not addicted right now. But you know what? If I keep going, it's a possibility.
I will be.
I'm gonna put this pill down. I'm not going to crunch this up tonight. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like how I felt like after I watched that doc. But I can't imagine being on the island and you lost all your savings for a party that you didn't go, that never happened. Like, what do you say to that? But shout out to the lady, the restaurant owner, because they did a GoFundMe and apparently raised $50,000 for her.
Oh, sheesh.
So, I mean, look, shout out to her, man. And I mean, there are people who are still emotionally wrecked from that whole event. You know what I mean? They're emotionally wrecked from that event. So, shout out to her, man. But that whole fire festival, when you watch it, though, you are going to laugh, though. I'm not going to lie. You're going to laugh at the dumb white people who went over there. Just be honest with you. You're going to laugh at the dumb white people who went over there and got stuck. You're going to laugh at Ja Rule. You know what I mean? You're going to tilt your head a little bit at this guy named Billy McFarland who never had no money to begin with. You're going to laugh at that. So there's a lot of things you're going to laugh at. So I encourage you to watch one of them. I didn't watch the Hulu one with them, but now I am curious to hear what he had to say.
So what's the difference?
The difference is the one with Hulu is the one they actually interview him because he was going to charge people. He was going to charge. And Netflix was like, we ain't going to pay you. We'll just get everybody else around it.
Just do it without you.
Right. We'll just get everybody else around it.
So and he was still trying to get money.
Because apparently he had no, that was the whole thing. The reason why he didn't want to pull out the situation because he had investors in it. And so he didn't want to pull out because he was going to have to pay the investors the money.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? So he felt like as long as it go down and they pay, he didn't even care about the people's conditions. But when the rain happened and then the people who were supposed to perform start pulling out, it was just one situation after another. Then they had to cancel it midway through.
Mm.
Yeah, man. And you got to remember, this is a new era where during the time people were tweeting like, yo, people who landed early was like, yo, this all they got for us, two hot dogs. Like, it was bad, man. So if you somebody who on your way there, you looking online like, wait, I'm not about to go there. You know what I'm saying? So they had to cancel it, man. So, yeah, it was crazy, man. So, yeah, just want to tuck on that real quick, man. Moving on, your guy, YG, shout out to him. He won $20,000 from a bet from your man, Birdman.
Hey, the man.
Because of the Rams versus Saints game. He announced it on Twitter. First, he said Birdman owed me. Then he tweeted later that Birdman actually paid him. But I want to give a shout out to YG for the fact that, two on record, he's probably the first artist we ever seen get paid from Birdman. I mean, he got his money quicker than everybody. Anybody I know. Mm. You name me somebody who got their money quicker from Birdman.
He bet somebody on the Super Bowl. Matter of fact, I think he actually won that bet. So never mind. Yeah, you're right.
Who?
No. Birdman actually won the bet, so he didn't have to pay.
Yeah, well, he still He still paid him more. He still got paid better than, I would say.
Expeditiously.
Yeah, he still got paid.
He still got paid quicker. Okay.
Yeah, 20, he still 20, got paid.
20 G's. Even though it was a technicality, he should have lost that bet. But
he got paid. He got paid.
You
know what I mean? So shout out to him, man.
He got paid.
Also, your guy, Nelly. I don't know if you got a chance to check this out, but Nelly is filing a lawsuit because his lawyer is making an argument that the woman that accused him for rape, if you remember, Nelly got charged for rape.
Yep.
He denied the allegations and he wasn't charged.
I'm sorry,
and the charges were dropped. But Nelly is filing a lawsuit. The lawyer is making an argument that the lady name should not remain anonymous.
Absolutely. Put her name out there. Put her out there. And I think what we're going to talk about after this, I think accusers should be held to the same type of penalty as the person who would have been guilty for that charge. I believe if you falsely accuse and you just blatantly make that up to just destroy somebody's life, I think your life should be destroyed. It got to go both ways.
If it finds out that was intention, I think it's hard to prove rape, and I think it's also hard to prove what was the intentions of the falsely accused also, too. It'd be hard to prove what was the person trying to accuse her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
so that goes for this situation and the Chris Brown situation, which we'll get into.
Well, yeah, I was going to say Chris Brown got released from Paris. Well, Paris, he got released from...
And he's filed suit for defamation of character.
Right. He allegedly was accused of raping a woman in Paris or in France. And, I mean, same difference.
And he was released with no charge.
And he's finally been able to come back to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris went a little bit harder than Nelly, though. Not only is he going to file a lawsuit, but he put out some T-shirts.
This bitch lying, Black Pearl.
Yeah. This bitch lying.
Yeah.
I mean,
You got to. You got to protect yourself. You got to protect your brand and who you are and what people think of you.
See, the only issue with that is we don't know the story.
Was that she followed him to his room.
Okay. We're talking about Chris Brown, not Nelly.
Chris Brown.
Okay, go ahead.
Went to a bathroom, and then, therefore, after that, it was taken, basically.
It was what?
It got taken.
What? Well, he took her.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it got taken, and then his friends or something came in there, and they got theirs, too. So.
And so, apparently, that's her story?
That was her story.
I heard that she said allegedly
happened.
Okay.
So I just have finding hard to believe that somebody like Chris Brown, stature, who has females just willing to just jump off a cliff to dive on his dick, would have to rape her.
But you know that's not what rape is about, though, right? Rape is not about desperation. Rape is about power. So you have people who are in power, and they take what it is they want. Because who tells them no? Because of what you said. You gonna tell me no? So you do have powerful men who in that position where you and I would be like, why would you have to rape somebody?
Well,
it's not about that.
Chris Brown isn't the powerful man. I would feel as though Chris Brown would be the female in the situation.
Well, explain that, brother.
Because it's like, not the female as in like, I'm talking about as a female as in he would be the hunted instead of the hunter. As in the male is always the predator, not the prey. I feel as though Chris Brown would be the prey for a woman, and the woman would be the predator, because I believe the woman would want him more than he would want them, to be honest.
I mean, that's real, but I'm just talking about the definition. I'm just talking about rape is not about desperation, as in somebody raping somebody
because they can't get.
That's all. I'm just throwing that at record so nobody won't think that we don't know what rape is.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying in this instance.
Because I don't know. I'm not saying Chris did it, so I don't want nobody thinking I'm saying that either.
I'm not saying Chris did it, and I'm not saying he didn't do it, but I'm saying it's very highly possible that I believe that he didn't do it, and I believe what he's saying in this instant. The Rihanna situation was the Rihanna situation. That's anger. That's situationship. That's emotions. That's all that bottled up in one moment and it just explodes.
Okay.
This would be a premeditated thing. Like I would just like I just don't see it possible.
Well, different layers of it. I mean, there's a possibility.
Somebody I just met. Like, come on now. Somebody I just met. It's not like I'm chasing you. It's a big, long winded thing to it.
But sometimes that's what rape is. We have to put that on notice. Sometimes that is what rape is. Some people do rape in that moment. But look, I personally don't know.
Chris Brown, in my eyes, Chris Brown just said, Hey, Chris. Hey,
you gonna call him?
Hey, Joe. Hey, go downstairs. Grab another one, tell him come up.
Well, one thing I will say is that
send her home.
I mean, yeah, you can look at it like that, but you know, we have to be quick. We can't be so quick to kind of like dismiss it as there's no way he raped this person because of this person's position. That's why a lot of women who do get raped don't want to come out and admit that they got raped, because nobody will believe them.
Well, I'll tell you this, for him to be released with no charge in Paris, overseas, says that they've done enough research and investigations to see that there was no cause for this.
You like to hope so. I mean, you like to hope so. Look, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm surprised at the
charge.
First
of all, he's black in Paris, so if anything happens, he's going down.
Well, I'm gonna
be
honest with
you. If they got any reason to keep Chris Brown, believe me, they are keeping his ass.
Right. I was just gonna say that because of the way Chris Brown been living his life, where he kind of is always in the news for something every
exactly.
6 months.
Exactly. So they see any because of what you exactly just said. If they have any reason they feel as though they can pin it on him and defame him anymore, they are going to.
Right.
So apparently they didn't have anything.
No. What I'm saying
is my point.
What I'm saying is that if you're someone like Chris Brown and you've been in trouble every 6 months, I'm surprised something like this ain't happened to Chris Brown like 5 years ago. Because ever since Chris and the Rihanna situation, Chris has been in and out of the news and getting in trouble with the law for the past 9-something years. Uh-huh. So I'm surprised that
what did happen, I mean, he had one sneak in his house, wait for him in his
That's
bed.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm surprised Chris didn't get discharged already with, you know, him allegedly hanging around like the wrong crowd, wrong people, and all that other stuff. So I'm surprised it took this long. But, hey, listen, man, all women need to be heard. And all people who are accused need to be given the benefit of a doubt. You know what I mean? As far as the evidence we know, I don't know anything that happened in that situation. If Chris didn't do it, I'm glad he's innocent. That's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't know too much about the information, but nobody wants to be accused of rape. Nobody wants that, because that's not something that you can just roll out of bed with, man. You get accused of rape. Nobody wants that, so. Let's try to move on to something a little lighter, man. I don't know if you caught this on your timeline, but you got 2 Chainz was in the studio with Dr. Dre. And I guess Dre is working on it with his forthcoming album, his next album coming up.
Okay, that's interesting.
Do we care?
That's interesting.
Do we care?
That's interesting.
I'm saying, do we care?
Yeah, we care. It's 2 Chainz. It's Dre. We care.
We care?
We care.
Just want to make sure. Is the album going to drop? Because it's Dre.
I mean.
I'm just saying, it's Dre.
It's Dre. They working this week. Will they be working next week? I don't know.
It's Dre. All I'm saying, if you get the opportunity to work with Dre and you somebody like 2 Chainz, don't do half the record and then
say I'll be back next month.
Or have Dre be like Dre, tell Dre to send you when he's done. No, you better wait in there with Dre. You better take it back in like 1990. Like you better be in that studio with Dre. Cause if you leave and that record ain't done, you ain't gonna see that record, bro.
Ever.
I read an interview years ago, I think it was Cameron, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody who ever hear this, and he said he did raps with, he did some songs with Dre, and I guess we've never heard it. You know what I'm saying? like if you leave Dre, listen, Dre ain't going back to that, man. So 2 Chainz, that might have been a good photo op, but I hope you stay in there with him. Well, make sure you see Dr. Dre hit the word process, and make sure you see him hit the send button to your email, and click and drag. And don't get fooled, homie, because by the time you get on that plane, that album going to be in the dust with everyone else.
Yeah, it's just going to be in that big old collage of files on that old hard drive.
Right. Did you get a chance, though? I know we jumped past that because we were talking about YG, but did you get a chance to check out any of the NFL games? And I wanted to ask you, what did you think about that no call in the Saints and Rams game? You think, because Roger, so far, Roger Goodell has not said anything at all. Should they say something in that, or should they just let it go past?
Well, I mean, he's trying to stay quiet until it's to the point of no return, because in the rule book, the Saints receiver actually looked up in the rule book where the commissioner does have the power to change a call and the outcome of a game. So he actually pointed that out. And another guy, Ben Watson, who's very respected in the Players Association, he talked about how his silence is, he needs to be a leader and speak out, but his silence is cowering, so he hasn't to speak out on the situation because it's a blatant call that basically, if the call is called, basically the Saints are in the Super Bowl, they just run out the clock because it's 1st and 10 of the 1, and you just basically you can knee it out, really. So it's a whole nother team in the Super Bowl. And he's talking, this isn't just a regular season game. This is a life-changing game. Like, you go to the Super Bowl, like, this is like some players never do, and it's it just makes a big difference. So I think.
So why wasn't, explain to me again, they don't do instant replays on hits or something like that? Like, what
they
was
don't
the whole
do instant situation? Replays on penalties.
Okay.
There's no instant replays on pass interference penalties, which was two penalties on a play. It was a targeting penalty, which is a blow to the head, helmet to helmet, and it was defensive pass interference where he hit him clearly before the ball was there because he didn't have his head turned, and he hit him way before the ball was there. So it was an easy cut and dry play, and it's just definitely the worst no call ever in sports.
So should the rules be changed? At least, you know, one proposal I heard was that when it comes to games like this in the playoffs, you should allow like a replay. And there's also been arguments about them playing like the last quarter. I mean, should there be rules like that? Do you think there's a chance, or are we just going to move on?
Well, technically it is in the rule book that the commissioner can change the outcome of a game.
Really?
I never knew that. I just said, where were you the past minute and a half? That was the first thing I said.
My brain.
Mike Thomas, the receiver for the Saints, looked it up in the rule book. He put up the chapter and the letter, paragraph this. He put up everything and said where the commissioner has the power to overturn a call or change the outcome of a game or the score of a game if he sees fit.
Would they lose money in that?
Would they lose money? I mean, because he's taken so long, it would lose money now because they've already marketed the Rams and put all this stuff and they lose that. But I mean, yeah, they would be behind schedule now. But
you'd be behind schedule even if he made the decision earlier, right?
Well, if he made the decision that next day, it wouldn't have been behind schedule.
Because when they would have played then, like today? And do you play a whole game or just...
Hey, you can play the last quarter or play the whole game or called up. He could have called that night and made them replay that.
What I thought was funny was the dude that actually hit him from the Rams was like, hell yeah, that was a like, hell yeah.
I mean, it was blatant.
Yeah, it was, bro. It was, man. It was that's bad. So do you think this is it for Drew Brees?
And another thing they need to do is – because the referees, after the game is over, they just disappear. They need to stop. Just like the players have to do, like, mandatory interviews after the game, referees answer some questions.
I don't want that, bro. Referees would die. Referees would die, bro. It's a little bit deeper with referees, dog. Referees would die. People are still looking for those refs in that Sacramento-LA LA Laker game overtime 10, 15 years ago for not making none of those calls, bro. People still looking for those refs, man. I don't know if we want that, bro. I think we want it, but we don't really want that. That's going to be a problem.
Okay, they answer the question. They getting paid a couple hundred thousand.
Man,
yeah.
We don't need to sell those people, man. People die, bro. Because what they not those dudes ain't. You think Marshawn Lynch and all them brothers wasn't press ready? You think the NFL referees are press ready?
Yes, these are older middle aged men who
that don't
are,
mean
I'm
they know
sure
how to
well
deal
spoken.
With those reporters and all this stuff, man. And age of viral? No, I wouldn't touch that, bro. I wouldn't touch that. But
you don't think so? I think they need to pull their feet to the fire too.
I think
if you're gonna make a 22 year old who misses a kick and sends his team home for the season.
He did go on tour.
You gonna put the camera to his face.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. That's
why,
real.
Why,
no,
why,
no,
why
that's
can't
real.
You do it to a 50-year-old man?
That's real. That's real. Did you get a chance to check out the Patriots game? Was that the same situation? Because I heard there was some no calls there, but that was typical Brady-ness or Patriots.
Nah, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. It wasn't a one call at the end of the game that changed the outcome. They played the Chiefs.
Okay.
That changed the whole outcome of the game. That one no call changed that whole outcome of that game, period.
Like, okay. Period. So it wasn't a typical.
The Saints still had a chance to win it in overtime because they had the ball going in. So, but still, that one no call changed the outcome of that game.
Okay.
There is no overtime. Game's over.
Okay. Okay. That's real. That's real. Well, Brady is going, you know, I was arguing with somebody who wanted to make the argument because you, I don't know if you saw that the Patriots were trying to say that they were underdogs. And I was like, I don't know how you could be underdogs when you went to 9 Super Bowls in the past almost 20 years.
18 years.
18 years, man. Like, you're no underdog.
The Super Bowl every other year.
Yeah, again, you're no underdog. So, yeah. Shout out to Wu-Tang. The trailer just dropped of Mics and Men. Going to be a 4-part doc on Showtime that's going to be dropping real soon. And the trailer dropped, and it looks really, really good. You can go to hiphopmatrixshow.com and check it out if you want to get a chance. It looks really, 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 really good. You know, Wu-Tang, you could pretty much consider them the greatest hip hop group of all time as a group. I think as a group, they're probably the best of all time. You?
As a group, they're probably the biggest of all time, the biggest group.
Oh, they're definitely the largest on hands down. There's no. I always felt NWA was the, NWA was the Guns N' Roses of hip hop, but they always had the biggest influence because they didn't stay together long. Mm-hmm. But nobody's family tree, in a weird way, to me, is bigger than NWA's. Even though Wu-Tang had more members, but when you look at the family tree of NWA, I mean, it defined a genre. But as a group, when you think about it as a group, not because to me, not a duo. I think when you're more, I hate when people call Outkast like a group or people like EPMD a group. I think when you're a duo, you're a duo. Anything that's more than two, you're a group. And Wu-Tang as a group is probably the best group in hip hop we've ever seen. But like you said, that's definitely the largest. Because we've seen hip hop cliques, but as a group, you're never going to see that again. You know? So shout out to them. I'm definitely going to be glued in and watch that four-part doc. And I'm glad to be living to an age where I'm starting to see documentaries on my hip hop superheroes. I'm glad to be living to the age to, you know, be able to see that.
But does that tell you you're getting old because you're getting documentaries now?
Yeah, man, but I'm happy for it, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, personally, I'm happy, you know, to get to the age where I, because there are a lot of things that, especially you take somebody like Wu-Tang when they were out, I was a kid. So there might be a lot of things where I think I know the story, but I don't know the story.
Stuff that went over your head.
Stuff that went over my head, you know, stuff that I didn't know, you know what I'm saying? Because to be honest with you, man, I was listening to Wu-Tang, man. My sister would listen to him. I didn't know what Wu-Tang was talking about, man, some of that. Yo, I remember hearing them saying, yo, God, I thought they were really talking to God. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought it was like, I didn't know about the 5% nation and all that because I ain't come from that. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't know about none of that. So, yeah, I think, yeah, I'm getting older. It's cool for me to see that because I want to see the workings of it. You know what I mean? I was a kid when these albums came out, but to see the history and the background of it is more about learning about the culture. So I'm all for that and to see their influence. I'm definitely for that. Big shout outs to DMX. He's out of jail.
He's home.
Yeah,
dog
man.
He's home.
Yeah. He was at
he looked old too.
He was at the Gilmore Federal Correctional.
You ever seen somebody where like they just all of a sudden they just get old? Like,
oh, first
bow.
Of all. Nah, X kind of been looking like that for a minute, bro.
Well, no, I'm just saying it just hit him hard though.
No,
like
that
Father
X,
Time like just came like he might have been beating him up a little bit, but he just kind of put the foot on the neck and just like stomped him out.
X
like,
was looking kind of bad, man. X was looking bad since at least 2010. Mm. At least he was at the Gilmore Correction Institution in West Virginia, and apparently he was in there for hiding millions of dollars from the IRS. IRS is the only people I'm scared of because they even come get you after death. But he got a chance to stop at a gas station not too far from, well, far from here, but in our area at Frederick's, Maryland, and he was taking photos with people at the gas station. People were asking him to take photos and he took them.
Yeah.
So, you know, shout out to X. And, you know, this is probably the biggest time I've seen people happy to see X come out of jail. Because I think this one is not something like a crime, like he robbed somebody or he stole someone's car.
Man, he smacked nobody.
Right. So people are happy
no
for X to come home because I guess that go to show you, no matter how much money you have, everybody understand the tax situation.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody understand that Uncle Sam can catch anybody when it comes to that. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm definitely understanding of that, though. So shout out to X. You know, you think with him getting this light shining on him, coming out of jail and going viral,
no.
You think, what you think I was about to ask?
Can he drop a record and be relevant or something?
Yeah, I was going to say that, yeah. That's true. Yeah. No. I think he has loyalists. X definitely has loyalists, though.
Nah.
Yeah, why not? People want to hear him. People want to hear him. I still think people want to hear X.
Nobody,
maybe not
nobody,
the level that he was.
Nobody want to hear X, a new X record. We just want to... Hopefully he got a good deal and he owns some of his royalties.
I'll say this though. X has the kind of personality that X does need like another reality show, or maybe he need to host
he
a game show.
Route. He could go that route.
Or he could host a game show or something. Like, we need X personality. Like, he has a great personality. Because people still watch him single Jingle
Hell
Bells.
Bitch.
Right. or they still watch him, that verse of him singing Rudolph.
Yeah.
I mean, look how much, I mean, that's been going on for like 5 years.
Yeah, I can do that. I can see that. I can see the TV thing, TVX.
Yeah.
X on the Tizzoo.
Yeah. So hopefully this situation, he could take advantage of it, man. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm definitely looking forward to it. Before we get up out of here, shout out to all my Game of Thrones lovers. I didn't get a chance to shout this out last week. they announced that the final season will be premiering April 14th. I really can't wait for that. And I finished watching, to everybody, I didn't really get a chance to tweet this past week, but finished watching the season two of The Punisher.
I didn't watch it. I need to go ahead and watch that.
It was good. I mean, I definitely think that they're going to take it away because they've been canceling all the Marvel shows on Netflix anyway. Mm-hmm. Because I guess allegedly, it's been so many stories. One of the most consistent stories is that Marvel's going to pull all of their shows to have their own streaming service, which would be smart. Because DC has their own streaming service, and it's amazing. So I don't see why Marvel, you know, would not want to do that, you know, have all their platforms on there. But The Punisher was good. It was good. I mean, to be honest with you, it was actually brutal. And, man, boy, make sure you watching that with no kids around. Because people, like, if a person gets shot in the eye, you see the eyeball come out and everything. The bullet going in the back of the head, all that good stuff, man. Sheesh. So, yeah, it's brutal. I mean, it is. And it starts off brutal. So, yeah, it's a good show, man. And so, I ended it, man. So, that's about it, man. Anything else, man, we miss?
No, man. I think that's about it.
I think we pretty much covered everything. What you got going on for the rest of the week, bro? What?
Keeping these records spinning time with the family.
Big shout out to everybody who's watching us on our YouTube page. We got a couple really big bursts these last couple episodes, and we appreciate you guys checking us out on Spotify also. Shout out to the people on Audio Mac. You know, you guys have been showing us some love. We're going to have some video coming soon, so you get a chance to see us. That means we can't be in here just wearing whatever no more. So we're going to have that coming real soon. As usual, make sure you hit us up on our Twitter, at HHMS98. Follow me on my Twitter, at JHRadio. This gentleman right here, at DJ Academics. Check us out on all social media platforms, SoundCloud, Podomatic. Type in search engine, Hip Hop Matrix Show, one word. As usual, be blessed and successful, and we'll talk to you soon. We ghosts!
It's the Hip Hop Matrix Show!